Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you sharing those sparks that could ignite the positive change in your life. If you listened to last week's show, When Style Meets Trust with Cynthia, I hope you've taken action on something you learned about style, about psychogeometrics, whether you went to the website and took the assessment, contacted Cynthia, or just did some exploration around the style. We will be sharing part two on the 27th. We'll be talking about trust. And then live on August 10th with Cynthia, we'll be talking about the power of the two models together. Next week, my guest is Frank Cross. He's back talking about more brain-inspired strategy, about changing your language to change their lives. So I invite you to join me next week. I'm excited about the guests that I'm lining up for you in the next 3 months. People who have recent books or new books or current projects, if you have a topic that you are interested in learning more about, please let me know by sending me an email at brainbonanza, B-R-A-I-N-B-O-N-A-N-Z-A at gmail.com. And just put Spark Topic in the subject line. If you are listening live and you have a question about this week's topic, which is Sparks with the Power of Baby Steps, you can give me a call, as Tom said in the opener, at 347-215-8390. You're also welcome to type into the chat room as well. And so the focus this week is on what happens when we try to make changes. When we get excited, we commit to making healthy lifestyle choices. We commit to changing our routine. We commit to adding more exercise into our lives. We commit to maximizing our time. And we are excited when we start. We've got a great plan when we start. And then life happens, as we say. And all of a sudden, all that excitement that we had to start begins to fade rather quickly. And we forget that it took us a long time to develop the habits that we now have. We want to change the way that we respond to people. And we want to change a routine in our life. We want to change the, quote, default or autopilot, unquote, that's driving our life. And the reality is that our non-conscious mind, it's also called an unconscious or subconscious mind, actually drives the majority of our decisions and our responses, because there's so much information that comes in through our senses that to be processed by our brains at a conscious level, number one, it comes in way too fast, and number two, we would have serious circuit overload. And so to prevent that, our non-conscious mind processes many, many pieces of information and only brings to our awareness those things that are urgent, novel, life-threatening, and the rest just gets processed and dealt with. And our non-conscious mind doesn't have access to language. It communicates with us through emotion, through intuition. And sometimes we forget to pay attention to how our non-conscious mind is trying to communicate with us. Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, talks about that split second where we may not even be aware at a conscious level of all of the information that's been taken in by our non-conscious mind, processed with other information, and a decision is made in a split second. It's why sometimes we just have this feeling that something's wrong. Or we have a feeling to take the umbrella on a sunny day. We have the feeling to look at the speedometer and slow down even before we notice there's a police officer. I listened to Dr. Judith Orloff's new blog posted July 12th, and it's about intuition in your body, and it has a video component to it. So if you Google Dr. Judith Orloff, J-U-D-I-T-H-O-R-L-O-F-S, Dr. Judith Orloff, and check out her blog from July 12th. Dr. Orloff wrote Emotional Freedom, and she's also looking, as I said, at intuition, which, again, we get so busy, we stop listening to how our non-conscious is trying to communicate. And if we don't get the message through emotion, through intuition, that, quote, gut feeling we sometimes have, that it can manifest in physical symptoms to get our attention. She shares the story of a woman who was in a toxic work environment. She wasn't happy there. She was in a school system, and yet she stayed and ignored what her intuition and the messages from her body. Now, Dr. Orloff did not say that that necessarily caused the breast cancer that she had. However, the breast cancer was a trigger for her to make a life change, to do what she really wanted to do, which was to sell houses, show houses and sell real estate. How often do we ignore those little whispers we sometimes get a sense of, what our intuition is trying to communicate to us? Because we're listening to those outside voices, those caring people who are giving us their opinion. You know, we can walk away from the good opinion of other people and to really listen to our intuition. We can thank them for their opinion and leave it lying on the table. So when you're trying to make changes, people all have their 2 cents or $2 nowadays to contribute to what action you might want to take. And there's value to listening to other people. There's also value in hearing your own inner voice. So when you've decided you want to make that commitment and you're going to change, for example, it may be something just that you're going to do dishes every day so that the sink will be clean every day. How many days are you successful before you slip? Maybe it was 6 or 7. And then on day 8, you were running behind, so you didn't do it. Very often, that slip is enough to derail our intentions, to derail our commitment. Why? Because we look at it as a failure. And not only a failure, but then we translate that one step further with the power of our words and we say, I failed. I am a failure. I am are two very powerful programming words to our brain. You can think of them as commands in a computer. Whatever follows I am, the brain looks to create synchronicity, congruence, whatever word you'd like to use, between that belief and what's really happening. So the languaging around things like, I hear people say, I am late, I am tired, I am sick, I am whatever. What if you changed your language to, I am capable. I am competent. I am successful at making changes in my life, successful at law, at listening to myself. It takes practice, and sometimes writing it down helps as well to counter that self-talk in your head with language that supports the change. Sometimes we want to change something that we've been doing for 10, 20, 30, 50 years, the way that we interact with our family, for example. I have a friend and a client who are reconnecting with family and family in stress because of health problems. And whenever we go back into that childhood family dynamic, we often find we communicate in the same way we did in that dynamic, even though we're adults, even though we know some things that are different about emotions and choosing responses, we get sucked into the habitual pattern. It's okay. Give yourself permission to take mistakes. And first, I can't remember who I learned breaking the word mistakes into miss, hyphen, take from. But if you think of it as like a movie, when you have an oops moment, Oops, I didn't get the dishes done today. Oops, I just lost my cool with my parents. Oops, whatever. In the world of filmmaking, the director just yells, cut, and we say, take two, because that was a missed take. So if we take that thinking, that languaging and energy into our missed takes, we think about and focus on, okay, TNT, the next time, what will I do differently to make this work better? And TNT, what will I do differently to avoid what did not work, what created the challenge at this time? Our brains are great at learning. They do also have to learn to eliminate the problems, the challenges, the ineffective responses. One of my favorite stories is when Edison was asked about all his failures in trying to create a light bulb. And he was somewhat puzzled, and he said that he did not have failures. He just learned over 9,000 some odd numbered ways not to make a light bulb. Experimentation, trial and error is necessary for the brain to hone in on what works. And yet, as adults, we get so tied into the idea that we must get it right the first time. We must get it right every time. Why? Our brains are wired to have mistakes and missteps. And if we honor that about the way that our brain processes and learns, if we celebrate the progress, today I succeeded at being 5 minutes early to work. Yes, and a smile goes on the calendar. Today I got, well, I wanted to be a minute faster, and hooray, I was 40 seconds faster. The energy we put around situations, we can still be honest, we can still tell the truth, but when you use your language, I should say, and when you use your language, does it motivate you? Does it support you? Does it inspire you? Do you talk to yourself in the same encouraging and loving and supportive way that you would talk to a child you were trying to teach, that you would talk to a family or friend that you care deeply about? You know, I was talking to my Saving Superwoman team last night as we were planning our Saturday show, which is on the Well of Goodwill, and the subject came up that very often we treat strangers with better manners, with more consideration and more patience than we treat our family and friends, the people we love. Interesting, isn't it? My nieces and nephews will often say when they're visiting us during the week of Camp Hofner, that they get to spend together every summer, it's, boy, you say please and thank you a lot in your house. And yes, we do. That was a commitment we made when we married, my husband and I, that we would continue to communicate respectfully, that we would use good manners with one another, because that was a way to communicate caring, that we would treat one another with that same respect in our tone and in our language. And I sincerely believe that's a big part of the fact that we have been together since 1975. Oh, my gosh, I really age myself now. It takes practice. It takes attention. It takes focus. And it takes the idea that, you know what, when there's a mistake, go back to what do we have in common? What are we working toward? Can we readjust? As the airplane autopilot does, if we start to get off course, decide to take a new course or to readjust to get back on course. Metaphors can help you as well when you're trying to commit to making changes. And to look at the success of progress and celebrate that, rather than looking at what did not work, only the challenges and only the problems. And where do you find the patience as you're trying to make that change? One of my favorite questions with clients as they're expressing their frustration over their challenges with making changes, their desire to have it happen faster, is to say, how old are you? And they look at me somewhat puzzled. And so they'll say, well, 32. they'll smile. They'll say, and of that 32 years, for how many years have you been doing this behavior, this response? And then they smile and realize, oh my gosh, here I thought I could change in 2 weeks what has taken me 20 years of practice and rehearsal to do. So we need to unlearn a response and replace it with a new response, and that takes time and practice and patience. But where do we find the patience? Well, if you imagine that you have a pool of patience that you can draw from, one of the things is to change your mental and emotional state when you have that challenge of something going wrong, wrong being different than what you planned, because sometimes those mistakes, those challenges really are the next step that are the steps that will propel us toward success. If we're open to that and open to discovering the learning within, we can sometimes accelerate our progress through what seemed at the outset to be a problem or a challenge. If we take a deep breath, if we remember that we are successful learners, and if we remember that we can be very patient with children that we're teaching, with coworkers, new employees we might be training in the workplace, we give people the space to learn. And we remember ourselves, you know, I would bet that all of you listening, the first time you tried to walk, you fell. And you probably did that hundreds of times before you were successful at navigating across a room without touching things all the way. And you kept trying because people were encouraging. You had that external support, smiles and applause. But somewhere, that stopped. Somewhere, the adults got all hung up in, what's the grade that we got in school? And maybe that we got a B, and why wasn't it an A? And why weren't we first? Why were we second? And we bring all sorts of external values and pieces into the discussion. What if we celebrated? The book, How Full Is Your Bucket? It's a great book. It includes the research on grades and learning. And as a parent, it is challenging to try to instill the value of learning for the sake of learning. My husband and I both are lifelong learners. We're constantly reading, whether it's books and blogs and magazine articles, and we're watching educational programs on Discovery Channel and National Geographic. And we want our son to have that same passion for being open to new ways of thinking and learning, and the best way to do that is model. Now, at the same time, well, I didn't like really doing homework either. I would much rather be social, and school was easy for me, so I would often wait to the last minute, and that created its own set of challenges to still be successful, to still be valedictorian in my class. I learned for the sake of learning and also for social acceptance, and I had to grow through that through college and the choices that I made in college, because while I graduated with honors, I didn't make Phi Beta Kappa. I added that my senior year, it may have been a goal. I chose to be happy with graduating with honors at the level to maintain my scholarship and enjoy the relationships I was building with my classmates to help my son, to balance responsibility with completing work, with the passion for learning. The most important thing is his love to gain new information, to understand the world. The grades, well, yeah, they're important. Less so important than doing his best and understanding when he doesn't do his best, what can he do differently next time? And to begin, he turns 10 this weekend. Doesn't seem like he could be turning 10 already. And if we think about the lessons that we want to teach or the lessons that maybe our family tried to teach to us in a way that, well, we couldn't really see at the time, to look back in reflection, that's one of the things, the gifts that we have as human beings. So our brain allows us to reflect back, to pull from the past the lessons, the benefits, the things that we can carry forward and that support us in making changes. And another key strategy is baby steps. We didn't learn to walk by taking giant leaps running across a room. Being able to focus on and celebrate baby steps, to celebrate the progress, And sometimes it does take an external voice to say, oh my gosh, that only took you 2 hours to process, whereas a month ago it took 2 days for you to get through that emotional turmoil. That's huge. Well, it's not as fast as I thought. It's progress. People who want to train for races, marathons, and they've been on the couch or haven't been physically active, don't start running a mile. They start walking a block, maybe half a block. Or in the case like, oh, there's a movie I remember with Penny Marshall. I think the first day she made it from the front door out to the front sidewalk and back. And then every day she took one or two more steps and began to stretch. We make progress one step at a time. And sometimes what we think, again, is a step backwards, it's really a step through. It's a step that allows us to process something that can be an obstacle, that can be a challenge. And by going back through it, we discover an insight. We discover a gift that once we learn that lesson, accept that gift, we then can move 3 steps forward. So definitely celebrate the progress and know that it's likely to come in baby steps. So to have that motivation, to have that support, to say, you know, this is working really well for you from where I am. Here's some areas where it might help you to improve. As a coach, that's one of the things that I do with clients, is help them to see where the obstacles are that get in the way. You know, if it's wanting to eat healthier and yet the first thing you pass on your way back in from your jog is the cabinet with the chips, probably going to be a challenge. Question is, what could you do differently about either A, having the chips in the house, or B, relocating them so they're less convenient for you to get? Our strategies to say, before I eat that chocolate, I will write down how hungry am I on a scale from 1 to 10, the value and nutrition of that chocolate, and is there anything else that I could get the same enjoyment or more enjoyment from and better nutrition? And sometimes having an accountability partner helps us to focus on the baby steps, the celebration. So what I love about working with Lynette as my life strategist and health coach, because even on the days where I'm discouraged or the weeks where, oh, my gosh, I didn't lose any weight this week, she's going woohoo into my life because I didn't gain anything. So I'm still on the forward motion, still moving ahead now. And I can celebrate that and keep my momentum and say, okay, so what will I add this week? The LiveHealthyIowa.org is sponsoring Burst Your Thirst this summer, which encourages people to increase their activity and increase their water intake. And we have a team of 6 people that I coach, and there are 4 teams at the credit union where I work, and our goal is to get better every week. We'd love to be number one. Right now we're real close to number 2. So my encouragement was, can we add 5 lifestyle points a day? That's 5 more ounces of water and or 5 more minutes of physical activity, or a combination of the two that adds 5. Because over the course of 7 days, that's 35. 35 times 6, that's over 200. See, when we think small, it's manageable. When we think about the weight loss, not the number of pounds, which is what I first said to Lynette. She said, but how about if we say that the number of pounds is a lot bigger, but what if we said that you want to lose 20% of your body weight? That's a lot smaller number, 20, than the number of pounds that actually is. So, wow, I can embrace that because that seems more manageable to me. It seems like it's something I can do. So sometimes those baby steps are taking the big end result that we want to achieve and then moving backwards. That Stephen Covey's, one of his 7 habits is begin with the end in mind. Visualize the end, know what that's going to look like, sound like, feel like, etc., and then start backing up to connect the end to where you are now. And again, sometimes the forest for the trees, it's a challenge to see both. A friend, a family member, a coach, an outside voice can sometimes give us additional options. Because if we've been doing the habit for all these years, and someone says, well, what else could you do? And you pause. And your mind really has nothing to offer because its routine is so deep. One of my favorite quotes, and the author's name escapes me, is the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. So if you're stuck in a rut in your life before it becomes as deep as a grave, know that you can make changes. You can step up into another path and create that change that you'd like to create in your life. We've got about 4 minutes left. If you've got a question or a comment about the power of baby steps or recommitting and refocusing to change, please give me a call at 347-215-8390. Or if you're in the chat room, you can type in a question or a resource or strategy that you use that keeps you committed and motivated and moving forward. And you can recommit daily with the passion test once we've identified the top five passions in your life right now. Recommitting to those five passions every day, putting them where you can see them to remind you that those are your guideposts as you make decisions in your life, is in order to live a very passionate life. Whenever you are faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, consistently choose in favor of your passion, say authors Janet Gray Atwood and Chris Atwood. Well, how can you choose in favor of your passions unless you're clear on what they are and unless you know them to the point that they're on the tip of your tongue? And how do you do that? Repetition. By putting them in your visual field, not that you have to read them every day or read them every hour, but where you see them, on a sticky note on your computer, sticky note on your bathroom mirror, reminds you about the focus, allows you to refocus, and go back to the why. Why am I doing this? Why am I committing to do this? How is this helping me? How is this helping other people that I love by me making this change or succeeding at achieving this? What's in it for me? What's in it for others? That can also help you. And breathe deeply in the moments where you're feeling frustrated, when you're feeling the failure, when you're feeling less than successful. Breathe deeply and talk to yourself as you would talk to a friend, a loved one, or a child who's trying to learn something new. Nobody else has to hear it. Talk about it to yourself. In your own mind, what would you say to support you to move forward? What strategic questions would you ask? The Question Behind the Question by John G. Williams is another favorite. And the three parts of The Question Behind the Question is a more effective question, and that is, it begins with what or how, it includes the word I, and includes an action. So rather than complaining about when are they ever going to fix that or why is this happening or da-da-da-da, but if we say, what can I do next time to move me one step forward? What can I learn from this that I can carry forward next time? That helps you refocus on your desire, your motivation, and your commitment for success. And it engages your brain to support you. It puts that focus back into the reticular activating system, which acts like radar and brings to you your awareness, resources, strategies, etc., that can support you to achieve that. Without the passions, the five passion focus, or the goals, or where you're headed to guide that radar, then what comes up from the non-conscious into awareness is habitual. So we can begin to change what we focus our attention on based on the passions, our goals. Who are the friends? Who are the five friends you're around? We tend to achieve at the average of those five friends the same amount of money, the same amount of happiness. Great piece of research on that, but that's another show. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure. I challenge you to take action on something you heard, a book, a resource, a website that can help you recommit to spark you to make the positive change in your life, to create the success that you desire and deserve. Until next time, great success with changes and growth, and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.